You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchen. It's Thursday, December 4th. An emergency cold weather shelter is now available to people in need in Astoria. In recent years, a warming center ran out of the Astoria Armory, but this was viewed as a temporary solution. Katie Frankowitz reports.
Previously, the nonprofit Astoria Warming Center had operated seasonally out of the basement of the First United Methodist Church above downtown Astoria. That center closed its doors indefinitely in 2023, following a violent outburst from a homeless guest. This led to a scramble to find another option to prevent people who were living on the streets from dying of exposure during the winter months. An emergency shelter has operated out of the Astoria Armory for the last two winters, but this was seen as a temporary solution. Now the city of Astoria has finalized an agreement with Clatsop Community Action to operate an emergency shelter at Casa Mariposa at 1373 Duane Street. Formerly Peace Lutheran Church and currently the headquarters for Consejo Hispano, a nonprofit that serves Latine communities on Oregon's North Coast. This new warming shelter will be able to accommodate up to 50 people and will operate from 9 p.m. until 7 a.m. through March 1st. The shelter will open any day the weather is forecasted to reach 32 degrees overnight. Minors will not be allowed and no drugs, alcohol, or weapons will be allowed on site. I'm Katie Frankowitz reporting. At least one person was detained by federal immigration officers in Warrenton in Clatsop County Wednesday morning. No information is available about the person or why they were detained. Officers with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrested the person at the Home Depot in Warrenton. This comes after two other people in Clatsop County were detained on Monday at a Walmart, also in Warrenton. In early November, ICE officers detained at least six people in Seaside. One woman was later released and allowed to return home. KMUN has reached out to ICE representatives several times for more information about the people who were taken into custody and why they were detained, but has not received any response. I'm Katie Frankowitz reporting.
This is KMUN News. I'm Skylar Butenchen. A Eugene-based credit union says it will no longer use Flock Safety license plate reader cameras. Community members in Eugene and Springfield have raised concerns for months about privacy and potential federal abuse of the data the cameras collect. KLCC's Rebecca Hansen-White has more.
Oregon Community Credit Union confirmed to KLCC that it had stopped its use of license plate readers. The credit union has 15 branches and 280,000 members. In a statement, OCCU said, quote, "Our intent with using these cameras was solely to help prevent crimes like robbery and fraud and to keep our members and employees safe. Flock has a nationwide network, and its cameras create searchable images of license plates or vehicle descriptions. Eugene, Springfield, and Lane County all have contracts with Flock, but none have cameras in use right now. According to its website, Flock has services tailored to banks and retail, partnering with over 1,000 businesses. I'm Rebecca Hansen-White, reporting.
Oregon Governor Tina Kotek says the state must become more desirable to businesses. As the legislature prepares for budget cuts, Kotek unveiled a new initiative on Tuesday that she says will boost the state's economy. Dirk Vanderhart reports.
Kotek is calling the new effort Oregon's Prosperity Roadmap. The governor says training workers, reducing business regulation, and tinkering with the state's tax system are all part of the plan.
We are ready to roll up our sleeves to support business and create more good-paying jobs for Oregonians.
But specifics are hard to come by. Kotek says she'll convene a new prosperity council to recommend changes. She also plans to propose a bill next year that would help fast-track major development projects. The new initiative comes as Oregon's national reputation has taken a hit. Recent reports show unemployment is up, the state's economic growth is lagging the nation as a whole, and Oregon businesses are expanding elsewhere. I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
Tillamook County Commissioner Paul Fournier is asking residents and local businesses to share information about the economic importance of Oregon's Highway 6. It's part of his ongoing effort to improve conditions on the road, which was constructed in the 1930s and runs through Tillamook State Forest. Fournier says he hopes to arm Tillamook's representatives in Salem with data to support a legislative push that would fund a long-term solution to a massive slide on Highway 6 between mileposts 33 and 36. The Oregon Department of Transportation spends upwards of $100,000 annually to maintain the road, and ODOT officials estimate a long-term fix to that section could cost more than $100 million. Fournier says he's concerned about the disastrous impacts any prolonged closure would have on Tillamook businesses. His effort to address the issues on Highway 6 began as soon as he took office as a Tillamook County Commissioner earlier this year, when he reached out to State Representative Cyrus Javity, State Senator Suzanne Weber, and ODOT officials. Javity and Weber were supportive but said that the issue lacked awareness outside of the county. So far, Fournier has heard from local automotive shops that rely on consistent deliveries from the Willamette Valley, and he's working to determine what the impacts would be on Tillamook's tourism industry if Highway 6 was forced to close. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Last month, a woman in Cottage Grove, Oregon, was forcibly detained by ICE agents despite having proof of her legal status on her person. The experience has marked her and her daughter for weeks and brought mixed reactions from community members. KLCC's Julia Bobach reports.
Juanita Avila is standing on the side of Penoyer Avenue in Cottage Grove, across from a hotel and a church. She's joined by her 19-year-old daughter, Emily Agustin. This is the first time the two women have come back to this spot in weeks, since they experienced one of the worst mornings of their lives.
I passed that light, and all of a sudden I see the lights, and I thought, okay, it's the police, it's gonna pull me over. So,
after pulling over, Avila says a man in a green vest walked up to her window.
He said, "We are police." And I said, "No, you're not police, because I know the police, and you don't look like a police." And then this other masked guy comes and says, "Where were you born?" And I was surprised because I said, "What does that have to do with me being pulled over?"
Then the men tried to open the doors to her car. That's when Avila started panicking, she says. Her first thought, "These are kidnappers." Her second thought, "I need to record this." The men unlocked Avila's door from the outside. Then they grabbed her phone and the video stops. After that, Avila says everything was a blur. They dragged her out of her car, put their knees on Avila's back, and handcuffed her while she laid face down in the street. Only then did they identify themselves as immigration and customs enforcement agents.
And they said, "We're immigration and we're arresting you because you're illegal." And I said, "Why are you assuming that I'm illegal?" They didn't even ask for anything.
Avila had her green card in her pocket, but in the chaos of the moment, she hadn't thought about it. Now, in handcuffs, she couldn't reach it. And it was becoming clear to her that documentation was not a priority for these agents.
I was sad, all panicked, because why would they just come like that without verifying anything first?
Avila started to think about her daughter and her 12-year-old son. Who would take care of them if she was taken away? At the same time, her daughter was driving in the area.
I saw lights, and that's when I decided to start recording. When I first realized it was my mom, I realized it was her because I saw her bright red jacket, and I saw that it was her on the ground with a bunch of agents on top of her, and my heart just like dropped.
Oh my f***ing God! That's my mom! What the f***? Oh my f***ing God!
As soon as I get out of my car, I was like, oh my goodness, it's ICE. That's when I start like freaking out even more, is because it made no sense to me because I knew she had her green card on herself.
Hey, what are you doing? She has her green card. That's my mom.
The agents told Agustin to back up and shine their flashlights in her face when they realized she was recording. Then, they threatened to arrest Agustin for obstruction. They threw Avila in one of their vehicles while they talked to her daughter. She looked through her mom's wallet and car, but couldn't find her green card. Eventually, Agustin was allowed to speak to Avila while agents checked her name in the system.
And while I was still talking to her, the female officer went off to talk to, like, someone else. And then she came back and she told me, oh, we can finally release her. It's fine.
The agents had found Avila in their system. No illegal border crossing warning, no criminal record, a legal resident in the process of getting her citizenship. As they took her handcuffs off, Avila begged them to answer why they had detained her without checking her legal status.
We just explained it to you, ma'am.
Yeah, but okay, stop, I told you.
If you don't stop, you're going to stay cuffed. Stop. Calm down.
Because they lie all the time.
Almost as quickly as it had begun, the interaction was over. The handcuffs came off, the agents drove away, Avila and Agustin hugged on the side of the road in shock. ICE has not responded to KLCC's request for a statement. But weeks later, the mother and daughter still feel the effects of the incident. Meanwhile, reactions from the Cottage Grove community have varied. Some residents have commented under social media videos saying agents should have taken Avila and Agustin away. But others have shown their support. People have brought gifts to the Latina store she runs, and community members have expressed outrage at the incident. Back on Panoyer Avenue, a woman drives by and rolls down her window. "Are you Juanita?" she asks.
My heart's with you guys. I think this is horrible, what's happening in our country. It's just horrible. It brings tears to my eyes. I don't know what we can do about it, but we've just got to help you guys.
Thank you so much.
Avila says she feels a responsibility to tell her story so that people can understand the reality of the incident. Those mean commenters, she says, often think agents are simply doing their job. But in this case, the detainment was wrongful, the experience was traumatizing, and its impact will stay with this family for a long time. From Cottage Grove, I'm Julia Bobach, reporting.
A Seattle state legislator is proposing a payroll tax aimed at Washington's wealthiest citizens. Democratic Representative Sean Scott says his Well Washington Fund bill targets people who work for the state's largest companies. He says the goal is to replace the money the federal government, through the Big Beautiful Bill, will no longer send to the state for education and social service programs. Republicans say the tax will drive those firms out of the state. But Scott says he thinks the public is on his side.
I will say the most recent poll, if you will, that we have received on this question is the capital gains tax referendum that took place in November of 2024. 2 out of 3 voting Washingtonians elected to continue taxing the rich. That's a pretty loud statement.
The Washington Roundtable is a business group whose members are the leaders of the large companies targeted. In a statement, group leader Rachel Smith said the state, quote, cannot afford policies that make living, working, or running a business even harder, end quote. Ocean Beach health officials say their Express Care Clinic is expected to break ground by the end of the year. Plans for the new 4,500-square-foot facility that will connect to a revamped Ilwaco clinic were finalized late last month. The Express Care Clinic, once finished, will be open 7 days a week and will house 5 exam rooms and a procedure room. The expansion of the hospital district's clinical services is funded by a $10 million bond measure that voters overwhelmingly approved in August of 2023. The funds are supporting 2 other projects that have already been completed, the expansion of Ocean Beach Health's laboratory and the expansion of the nurses station in the acute care department. Construction of the Express Care Clinic in Ilwaco is expected to be completed by the end of 2026. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. Oceanographers at the University of Washington have found that ocean acidification is accelerating more quickly in the Northwest than elsewhere. They decoded data sampled from native corals. KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe has the story.
Ocean acidification is sometimes described as global warming's evil twin. The ocean absorbs CO2 from fossil fuel emissions, causing the water to become more corrosive.
Ocean acidification is already impacting the growth of oysters, clams, plankton, which in turn are important food sources for salmon, seabirds, and other marine organisms.
Mary Margaret Stoll is the lead author on the new study. Her fascination with ocean acidification led her to work with a set of orange cup corals that were collected 130 years ago by naturalists aboard the USS Albatross, a tall ship on a mission to survey halibut for the federal government. Stoll says she's still amazed that this uncommissioned collection ended up available to her in the archives of the Smithsonian.
These corals were incredibly well preserved. There was so much information attached to them as well about the depths of collection and where they were collected and when they were collected.
Stoll and her team took tiny samples from them, then followed in the path of the USS Albatross to get coral samples from today. Then they compared the information stored in their skeletons. Professor Alex Gagne co-authored the paper.
You can read that information, much like an ice core or tree rings.
He says they found that the Salish Sea has become 40% more acidic than other parts of the ocean since the start of the Industrial Revolution. This much faster pace is due to deep upwelling that amplifies the acidification here. Gagne says the results surprised him and led him to start researching ways to remove carbon from the atmosphere.
And the fact that we're at this point where carbon dioxide removal has to be a significant part of our path forward is just a reflection on that we haven't done the steep emission reductions that we need to do.
He says carbon removal needs to accompany emissions reductions in the 2030s to keep local waters healthy. The study is published in the journal Nature Communications. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe, reporting.
You're listening to KMUN News. If you have a news tip or story idea, get in touch. Email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and the KMUN News team. That includes me, host and producer Skylar Butenchin, news intern Sylvia Thorpe, and news director Katie Frankowitz. Our news broadcasts air Monday through Thursday, beginning at 7:59 in the morning and 4:59 in the evening.